But one thing that I have found to prevail is when I trust in God. But yet life seemingly still has us down where we can't honor God to what I'll call appropriately. And by appropriately, we're talking about being a humble praise, being a sincere praise, and coming from the depths of your heart. And that's what I have to offer to God tonight. That's all I've got. It's my heart and my life. Whether it's good or bad, God has my heart. And you're here tonight because you're putting your trust in God. There's no greater a presence that you could be in the midst of than in the presence of God. There's no better place that you could dwell than in the fields of His peace. No better joy that you'll ever find than when you seek for the treasure of His word in your life. It's my every virtue. It's my every refuge. It's everything to me. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the 6th chapter of the book of Joshua. Father, we thank You and praise You right now. For we know, God, that in these times that we're not alone. And God, I thank You for the anointing that we feel in our heart right now. God, I just praise You for the lifting up of a heavy heart. I honor You, God, right now. I believe, Lord, that You are very much alive and very much in control. Lord, and I believe that for those that have come, that there is that place of peace for them. God, let this word go into their heart. Let it, God, be sown and reaped by faith. Lord, I praise You for Your anointing. God, I honor You tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, You're most worthy to be praised. Oh, I bind the hand of the enemy. I bind the hand of sickness. I bind the hand of affliction and oppression and depression. And God, I pray right now for every situation that we are standing in the gap for. Let our praise and our hearts be filled with gladness. God, let us enter in into Your courts. For God, the gate swings open right now. Oh, just open up your heart. Oh, let the Spirit of the Lord touch you right now. Just call on Him here for a minute. Don't be afraid to lift up your voice. Surely the Lord is nigh unto your needs, church. And surely His hand is upon this place even now. All you have to do is believe it, and surely it will draw nigh unto you. I praise You, God, for moving. I thank You, God, for the quickening of Your Spirit. I thank You, Lord, for touching the needs of those that have come in here right now. Lord, we're not afraid of what holds in tomorrow. For God, we believe today that everything will be all right. Lord, I know, God, that You're moving for Your people. And Lord, I believe, God, that Your Spirit is lifting their hearts up, Lord, that they be made full with joy. Oh, I praise You, Jesus. I wish more than anything that we would just take our place in God. He's called you, oh, to be anointed and endued with power, not powerless, but with power. He has anointed you to overcome and not be defeated. He has anointed you to lay hands on the sick. My Lord, He has anointed you to believe. I feel like telling somebody, you think that nobody understands your hurt and nobody knows everything you're going through. But God is sending a word to this people whom will believe and receive this. Hear me under the sound of my voice. That which is being done in darkness shall come to light. And the same games that the devil has been playing with you aren't going to last. And his tricks and his snares will be revealed just for what they are. And you will overcome this. Don't give in to it by anger. Don't give in to it by depression. But receive by faith the victory. For it is here for you this night. Somebody needed that word. Man, I feel the Lord. You see, Joshua was in a predicament where he inherited a situation that was bigger than he was. Moses had brought them through the Red Sea. They had overcame being in bondage and enslaved to the Egyptians.
They were in a place where they had become unsatisfied and they were unhappy with their situation. And Moses had went as far as God spoke that he could go. And there had to be somebody that would step up and be willing to overcome and be victorious. Joshua did not inherit a situation that was perfect. He inherited a group of people that complained about everything, that was fed up with whatever good that was done for them, and didn't believe that they had any place. How many of you have been there where you felt like that you had no place? No matter what house you went to, no matter what job you worked, you can work 80 hours and still not be happy. You can be at your home and not be working and still be unsatisfied. There was a group of people that was unsatisfied with their situation. They were unhappy with even the good things that God had done. So there had to be somebody that would be willing to bear the iniquity of those whom complained and take them through where they were into a place that was promised unto them. How many of you know that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you came from a place that was in turmoil, and there was somebody that stepped up and believed that you could be forgiven? So we have a refuge. Somebody needs to receive that. No matter where you lay your head, you have a refuge. Why? Because somebody stepped up for you 2,000 plus years ago and gave up his life so that we can have life and it more abundantly. The word I have for you tonight, it's quite simple and very short. Faith is what breaks down the walls. Joshua inherited a situation. The rivers of Jordan were beginning to flood. And the place that they thought they could stay forever and complain, all of a sudden was a temporary circumstance. And they had to go somewhere. And God used this opportunity to use Joshua and make it a confirmation of his authority over them by him leading them through the Jordan River. The priest that carried the ark in that time walked on dry ground as they went across. That should tell you that if you're walking with a divine purpose for the Lord, you will walk through this thing and you will not be the death inside of it. There is a way out of it and there is a way through it. Joshua led them through the Jordan River and he recalled the Red Sea. And he was confirmed in his heart. He knew then what he had to do. But they came upon a walled city by the name of Jericho. They came upon a place that they were not equipped to take. They didn't have the weaponry to destroy them. All they had was what they were able to make out with going across two rivers in a wilderness. That's what they had. They didn't have a big army. They didn't have a great big catapult to tear down the doors. They just had what they had. And your life has all that you have is the sins that you've committed and all the mistakes that you've carried forth from your bondage. But the one thing that will bring you through it, that does not define you whether you're victorious or not, is Jesus Christ. Joshua was a representation of the forthcoming to the walls of man having to be destroyed. You read this in the scripture. He received encouragement from an angel who spoke to him before he ever entered into that place. He was promised that land. How many of you have been promised through the word of God, through prophetic word, through encouragement of your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ? You've got to have the promise before you ever go trying to tear down the walls. He received that word. So even if the people came up upon this and were in fear, he had the confidence to know that he was going to obtain what was promised unto him. So they came upon this place, and you can just imagine in that time, they stared at a city with great walls. So there had to be somebody that tried to think it through, of course, as we try to do with everything. I'm sure they saw the walls and thought, well, maybe we can break down the gates, or maybe we can dig a tunnel underneath and infiltrate that way and get them in the night. But it took something way more than a human plan to get to where God's promises are. If you want to get to the desires of your heart that you pray for God, it can't be by your own way. And it can't be by submitting to your will. And it can't be by living the way that you want to live instead of the way that God will show you to live. If you will follow his promises and follow the holiness that he's laid out for you to live, then you have exactly what you need. You don't have to devise any strategies or plots or try to do anything yourself. I will have to be human tonight and admit to you that I have done more harm than good sometimes in a situation that God could have done so much easier than had I done it. I would say too much when I just intended in my heart to be doing well, or I would go too far even though in my heart I didn't think I was going too far, and the one thing that I wanted to achieve did not happen because in my heart I thought I could do it on my own. But how many times have you failed yourself? Not even in necessarily something that I said I shouldn't have, but in a moment where I should have said something and I didn't. So human logic wasn't going to give them this promise. Our own power of will and choice to do it our way will not get us further. And we're talking so much more than walls right now. I'm talking about your personal life. How far would you say that you've grown in God in the past month? Do you feel like that you're making progress when you examine your heart? Are you taking authority over the devil like we had been instructed to? Are you believing in faith for the things that you want? Are you being courageous in a time that you could cower? I can't lie to you. Sometimes I feel like that I fall in that same attitude that the children of Israel had, never satisfied. Could have everything that you ask for and still in your heart not be happy. And there are a lot of people out there that are so close to deliverance but are unsatisfied with something. We think we have to reason with people to get them to be saved. They're just right on the brink. But they need something within you that's going to show courage as a Christian, that will show the confidence in the God that you serve. How is the unbeliever drawn unto God? Through the gifts and callings of the Spirit that we have. He gave us gifts, not to entertain one another, but to use them so that the unbeliever could be drawn unto Christ. Some of the most quiet places that I've ever attended were libraries, courts of law, and church houses. Yet, the one place that you have the most liberty to be as foolish as you want for the Lord is church. But let me tell you, I ain't got nothing to do with what holds you back. You can blame me, I'll never know. But what holds us back from being free in God is right here. Joshua was one separated out of the midst of all the complainers because he had something that wasn't unsatisfied. He believed in that which the Lord had spoke to him through the angel. So no matter what the obstacles, he still believed by faith. If you are going to tear down the walls of strongholds in your life, it has got to be by faith. If you are going to overcome the devil and his devices, it has got to be by faith. If you're going to believe that your children, your husband, your wife, your cousin, your friend, your coworker, your enemy will be saved and converted, you must do these things by faith. If you want a drug addict to be delivered, you've got to do it by faith. If you're going to work in the ministry for God, you've got to operate in it by faith. If you're going to come to church Sunday after Sunday and you want to have victory in your church, we've got to serve together by faith. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Joshua saw Jericho in his hand before the walls ever came down. He saw the victory even though he was looking at defeat. Do you understand where we're going tonight? When you're looking at an obstacle, you have got to not see it for what it is, but by faith believe that it's already yours. And the Bible said that you shall have it if you believe it in your heart. So we received the same promise that Joshua did, but God loved us enough to where it wasn't concerning land. He loves us enough that he will move in the desires of our heart. If you need a car and you trust God and walk uprightly before him, he'll send you a car. If you've not got enough money to pay your light bill, but if you can just hold it together by faith, God will send money to pay that thing. If you are sick in body and need strength to get through it, if you will just believe in spite of what your body tells you how to feel, you will overcome. We heard a testimony tonight. I saw God moving upon Brother Matt. It was an amazing healing of God. It could have been far worse, but he saw something inside of him that would believe, and God would never put more on you than what you could handle. He would not walk you through a river unless the way would part when you would put your feet in it. He wouldn't put you through anything if he didn't know that you had the confidence to walk on through the river. So having the Red Sea and having the memory of walking through the Jordan River, he comes upon an obstacle that he already knows he shall win. And they have a very unique battle strategy. Did they go out guns blazing? No. Did they set up landmines and yell at them and have them come out and step on them? No. Did they shoot them from afar off in hopes that they'd all die from the cannonballs? No. Did they put poison in the food and let them all die out inside before they go and took it? No. Did they have any cunning strategy that would seem like it would work by the world standards? No. They had something that was totally against everything that they knew about the art of war. God sent them to an armored fortress and had them walk around this fortress. They had a trumpet. I don't know about you, but you can try to fight with a trumpet if you want to, but you're not going to put too much hurting on somebody because it's not really equipped to fight with. How many of us have tried to fight a battle with just making noise? I've never won that way. Caused strife in my marriage, strife in my workplace, strife with my family, strife at church, just by making noise. And when we come into a place where our hearts are half-hearted, not believing, not by faith, to God we're just a noise, a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal, just another racket. For without faith in our noise, when it's not mixed with faith, we're just making noise. We're just showing up. And for that matter, if we don't want to walk by faith, why don't we come to my house so I can sit on my couch? I would be a lot more comfortable to sit there and just make noise. But we come here to assemble together in this place for a different reason than to just make noise. I don't come before God to make noise. I give God the depths of my heart and let him use me. That's all that I know to do. And that's all that God requires of you. And what's great about it is that what you do will bless somebody that you never thought you could reach. The anointing is that wall-breaking power. The anointing destroys the hardest, most structured, most well-thought people. He can tear down walls of the most educated and cause them to know Christ. He can lead people even if they can't even read the Bible. He can reach to people as young as children. He can minister to those on their deathbed and open their eyes. God can reach anywhere with the anointing, but there has to be faith. Now, how do we use our faith? When is faith made effective? Well, church, you have to obey him. Had they not walked around these walls, they would have never crumbled. They had the knowledge that they could, and probably had the confidence to believe that it could happen. But there had to be obedience with faith. For faith without obedience is dead. To just believe and not obey him in what we're called to do is ineffective. To come in and sit and just believe and not operate in the gifts and callings is not effective. In fact, when we come in and just believe and not obey, we cannot draw the unbeliever. For they are drawn by the demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit. They are compelled by the foolishness of preaching. They are drawn by the anointing, drawn by the things they do not understand. And then God takes that opportunity to tear down the walls. You don't have to reason with people to get them to believe salvation. You don't have to write it out in 12 steps and give them a signature line to write their name on for them to know that they're saved. You don't have to go through any great big program to get down to the very root of what's important in somebody's life. It's cut and dry. Or in technology, it's cut and paste. It's one thing or the other. Either we come in to operate in obedience by faith, or we believe but disobey. What happens when we disobey, when we have faith? To him who know and do it not, it is sin. To those of us that understand that we can take our authority, and to those of us that know the way and choose not to do it, it is a sin. Now, how is it a sin when you choose not to do something? Because that which you are to do is not only for you. That which you are to do is for the edification of the body. That which you are called to do is to bless others. There's never been a time when I was obeying God that it made me feel good about myself. In fact, if I ever try to think about what I'm doing when I'm doing it, I think I'm a fool. I want to sit down. I want to go home. I want to crawl in a corner and not do it again. I don't ever want to get up the next time. I talk myself out of it week after week thinking somebody else will be there and be ready and I'll finally have a chance just to sit. But every time I try to do that with my own reasoning, the vision of what I'm promised begins to fade. For without a vision, we begin to perish. If we will learn to walk by faith and trust God in these hard times and obey Him in spite of the obstacles, all of a sudden, something amazing begins to take place.